from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster, who, while he's not seen, he's barely heard, ideally, or, you know, generally kind of heard. I think that'd be more correct. And not seen and barely heard. That was what I would have said if I was more concise, but I'm not. But I'm here so you can barely hear me, or just rarely hear me. I was trying to think of one more thing that rhymed with that. But I can't, because you know what time it is? It's time for Sleep With Me, podcast to put you to sleep. And if you could pay attention for a few minutes, if you're a regular listener, really, these are the ways we keep the show going. And if you forget, just when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay to get back? How much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side, I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the part of the show I need you to hear so we can celebrate the people enabling me to bring it to you for free. And I wanted to thank Christy A., who supported Wix. Christy went to wix.com/sleep20 and got 20% off Wix Premium Plan. And I'd love you, also, if you support Wix, let me know about your website. Now, if you're looking for a notary in the Eugene, Oregon area, you could check out Christy's site, ladyofthelakemobilenotary.com, built on Wix and supporting the show. So if you got a business, you got a project, get over to wix.com/sleep20. Thanks, Christy. Hey, Mr. Bard, you have an album that came out a few months ago, right? What else is going on? And who helps out on the show?
Posty poster song. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Lecture. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. Could be for Father's Day, which is coming up soon. Or could be just to say, hey, you're cool. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance.
Thanks, Mr. Bart. I'm at Dear Scooter at Twitter and Instagram. Sign up for our mailing list, sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. That way you'll keep up to date. That's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time or temperature. Whatever scheme, like work schedule, travel schedule, whatever it is, I'm here to keep your company and take your mind off. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, like word scramble, whatever those are, where I take a word and I try to pronounce it. It's almost like too many words are trying, or too many letters are trying to get out of my mouth at the same time. So then they kind of get, backed up, and then they all kind of spill out. So sometimes they call it word scrambles or word spillage. But it's more, I guess that's spillage. What happens after it gets blocked up? Kind of like in a comedy from like a silent movie. When all the, like, I think that was called the Keystone Cops. I don't know if I ever saw one. But I can imagine all of them trying to go through one door at the same time. And then they kind of get stuck in the doorway and in the hallway to the door. And eventually they all spill out the other side. That's like a part, but just one part of my brain looks like that. most of the time. So I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Having things running around and then trying to go through doors, you know, climbing in the car. You know, you say, how'd they get all those in? How'd those cars, how'd they get into one car like that? And then you say, what's this car doing driving around my brain, like with these giant signs that I'm supposed to read that say, what about tomorrow? And you say, well, what do you mean? And they say, okay, well, boy, I'm trying to go to sleep, actually. And I say, good point. Let me, if you're new, welcome. I'm glad you're here. This is Sleep With Me podcast to put you to sleep. Structurally, what to expect if you're new is a show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it free. Then there's about an intro. There's an intro that's about 12 minutes long. And the intro is actually a big part of the show. It feels like something that never gets started or like a buildup where it's just kind of, yeah, it's like that part where everybody's, you say, well, what's on the other side of the door when they spill out the other side of the door? And you say, another doorway. Of course, the brilliance of whoever came up with the key, you say another doorway for them to get stuck in. Just when they all get in the other room, then they rush through another doorway. In some reason, in my brain, on the other side of every door is a vending machine. I don't know, that does seem like an inane detail. Normally, like, that's just something a splainer would use, inane, but I guess part of my brain said, I just see a vending machine there. I said, well, it's interesting. I won't call it inane, though it's interesting. Okay, well, let's back it up. So you have a bunch of Keystone Cops or some other cartoon-like characters. They're all trying to get, so this is a workplace, like break rooms. No hallways. Maybe it's a hallway to a break room that they never reach. Oh, just like these intros that you're trying to explain to a new listener. Kind of, yeah, where it's a metaphor, which you say could say that is a metaphor. But you say, well, I don't understand what the metaphor is. And I'd say, exactly, it's a visual metaphor. Also, there's a vending machine there. I'm not sure if it's the vending machine doesn't seem to serve any metaphorical purpose. It's just there for snacks or, you know, other things like that. So convenience. Oh, yeah. Especially if you're caught in the, think about it, maybe good marketing. If all of those, let's say there's 14 Keystone Cops, just off the hot top of my head, probably wouldn't be 13, obviously. They if they're all caught in the doorway, only four or five of them are going to be stuck there. So a few of them are going to be in the back waiting. And they'd say, you know what I could go for? Some nougat right now. Oh, boy. I need something with the caramel center myself. I'm looking for something more in the Nature Valley range. And they say, look, who would have thought to put a vending machine there? And they say, some part of Scooch's brain that's inane. Oh, but if you're new, so the intro is where I try to explain what the podcast is and go off topic. Just unintentionally, I just did it. It's also part of people's wind down routine. The majority of the listeners that I hear from, they start the intro and they get ready for bed, or they're already in bed and they're getting comfortable, and you slowly wind down. Some people use it, you know, while they're brushing their teeth, brushing their hair, you know, brush. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're brushing your sweaters. I think that's called something else. Brushing your pets, you know, get a little fermentation going on. Right? Am I right, pets? Oh, yeah, I'm right. But so it's part of a lot of people's wind down routine. About 2 or 3% of listeners, I think, that statistic changes whenever I remember it. They skip ahead to about the 18-20 minute mark. That's when the stories generally start. And more people I hear from listen to the podcast during the day, and probably mostly to the intro, just as part of a wind down routine at work or in the car. And obviously it's not for everybody. Yeah. So that's the intro. It doesn't ever make a lot of sense. But I try to get there. I say, and I really can't help myself. This is just how my internal makeup, how my synapses work. I got a synapse full of Keystone Cops, probably like running into another synapse. And they say, actually, Scooch, you just, like, I just heard from an imaginary neuroscientist who said, you just explained the whole synapse theory with your Keystone Cops metaphor. Once you had the vending machine in there, because the vending machine, okay, actually, sorry, neuroscientist, I don't have time to complete your thing, because I have no neuroscience understanding. So we'll have to leave that event unclosed. But yeah, my brain is a bit like, my brain does have synapses as far as I know. And I try to use them. I try to, you know, and I don't know, is that where our, is there gangly stuff in there? Cause it, I have gangly and jangly stuff up in there. But okay. Oh, so I was trying to explain to the new listener though. So the intro, you could skip it, but kind of see how it goes. This, like, podcast is kind of meant to be consumed a little bit passively, like just like watching Keystone Cops hit a vending machine, waiting for the other Keystone Cops to, you know, unjam themselves from the doorway so they can spill out of that doorway, hardy har har, right into another one. Which sometimes that metaphor for me is what bedtime feels like. I got thoughts smilling into thoughts. I got other thoughts milling around. Right, see, who's the supervisor? Lucine, she's at the vending machine. Okay, well, can't Lucine come over here and help, you know, migrate these thoughts to bed or something? Because I got to go, I don't really need to think about spreadsheets or the slide decks or whatever. Well, no, we're just running around. We don't have any specific things. We're just yelling sleep slide decks and... Well, exactly. You're running from doorway to doorway, getting stuck, and yelling about spreadsheets. I'm actually, you know, I got my room 64 degrees here. I got three layers of blankets. I got three layers of background noise. I got a cross breeze, and you know, I haven't used a device in 45 minutes. I'm reading right now I'm reading, rereading a Dragonlance novel, and I'm about to go sleep. Like, could you quit running around? Well, no, that's what we do. Okay, well, believe it or not, also, I'm not actually in bed. I was actually trying to explain the structure of the podcast, so I probably should get, but why don't you all listen in while I explain what the podcast is, structurally. Because next up, after the intro, there's some business between the intro and the show. Then there's this, usually a bedtime story or a recap. Tonight will be a recap of Doctor Who, an episode, a two-parter episode. It'll be a second half. It's about spelunking, I think. So it'll be good. It'll be good sleep material. I just kind of barely refer to the plot. I'll say, I wonder what is that word? Where's the origins of that word, spelunk? You know, has there ever been a funk album named Spelunk? Sounds more like somebody's looking. Here's another branding opportunity, courtesy of Scoots and your check for millions of dollars. If you're going to open a cannabis business, Splafunk, you definitely need to pay me for that. But you could, that's probably good. Like, I'm working on these instead of book titles lately. I've been coming up with a lot of doozies. Also, I'll think, don't worry, at some point I'll think of a business named Doozies. I don't know what it is yet. Because they just say, what businesses are based on spinning? Because they say, whoa, that one's a doozy. Is there any roller coasters named Doozy? Any sentient roller coasters listening to this podcast named Doozy? Okay, well, get a hold of me. When you're not busy, I guess if you're a sentient roller coaster, I don't know. Does that mean you're not? That's actually, maybe I should come to your universe and help you out, because it sounds like it wouldn't be great going in circles all the time. But Doozy the sentient roller coaster, maybe that could be something I could work on. Okay, so where were we? Oh, structure show. So there's the story, then some thank yous at the end. That's what to expect structurally. As far as other things, if you're new and you're still around, you don't need to listen to me. You probably figured that out on your own. I'm here to distract you from all that doorway clogging and spilling and thoughts and saying slide decks. You know, I'm here to take your mind off it, to keep you company as you drift off. So you don't need to listen to me. And there's no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. You can line up episode after episode. I'm here to keep you company throughout the night. I work on the show all the way to the end. So if you can't sleep, I'll be here to kind of keep you company, to barely entertain you. The reason I make your show is because I've been there in the deep, dark night, tossing and turning. I just want to help. And I think that's it. Let's see. I'm trying to think of anything else you need to know. No, I hope I can help. I really appreciate you checking the show out. Most reviewers say it took two or three times. Sometimes I just read a review and that would be the thank you to the end of the show. The person they listened once two or three years ago said no thank you, then rediscovered the show and now it's their favorite podcast. So, you know, see if it works for you. Give it a couple tries or give it a try. Come back later. I'll be here to help you. That's what I want to do. And that's it. I strive and I yearn to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. You know I got an Air Doctor. It is running in the other room right now, and especially in the winter. Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And, you know, that comes with a lot of consequences for your health. So what's the solution? Well, an Air Doctor's the solution. It's captured the attention of CNN, Money, ABC, and more. That's the Air Doctor air purifier. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. You got to get yourself an Air Doctor. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code SLEEP. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. This is exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's airdoctorpro.com and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. All right, we're talking about season 2, episode either 10 or 11, or no, episode 9 or 10, depending on how you define your season. Part 2 of a 2-part episode. Which we last left off in the last episode. This one's called It's the Pits, man. It's the Pits. It looks like I didn't write down if it was written or directed by Matt Jones. I think written by Matt Jones. And they show what happened last time, which was we were on the space base outside the black hole. There's henna tattoos and oods and closing doors. And it opens with Oods being shushed. Everybody says, Oods, quick, quit with the chattering. Oods, don't be rude, please. Stabilizing, got orbit or out of orbit. So they must have got the orbit back. When we last left off, they must have lost their orbit. So orbit's back. Let me just check. Yeah, they say Rose calls the doctor. Ooter trouble. How many Ooter we have? All 50, they say. Then one of the dudes thinks he can out Ood the Ood, but he, oh boy, is he wrong. You don't be rude to a rude Ood, dude. I don't know. Think of anything else that rhymes there. He's wrong. Station nine time. It's time for strategy nine time. The Oods are taking out all the bolts on the doors. Strategy nine time. Doctor comes across the radio. Hello. With a cheery hello. You know, always good to hear from the doctor. Any situation. Let's see. Doctor's fine. Where are we? Chasm. Tried to write it in the enunciation way. No sign, doctor? Is there such a thing? Withdraw now. Order strategy nine. That's what my notes say. Let's just look up what actually happened. Careful, me and Ida. Seals open. We got the chasm. Let's see. How far is the chasm? We don't know. It goes down for a while. Pits open. Nothing, no sign. You know, they talk about I didn't realize this was a crossover episode, but they talk about the second Lord of the Rings movie a lot in this. The Two Towers. And the Log of Bars, the famous Log of Bars, and it comes up in the end of Fellowship. The thing that transferred the Log of Bars helped Gandalf, the Grey, become the White Wizard through a series of trials. Who would have known? Where else would it happen but in Doctor Who? It doesn't make it's a sleep podcast, so. Okay, withdraw. Order straight, a lot of orders. Poor Zachary Cross Flame. He's got a lot of work being the leader of this crew. You know, they're teetering on the edge of a black hole. Ida. I had to look up Ida. You know, that'll come up in the research. Ida rebels, shuts radar. Oh, she says she rebels. She shuts down a radio. She says, Doctor, we should go down in the pit. And you say, well, we have an order to come back. And Doctor says, well, it's tempting. And you say, well, what's down there? Well, we don't know. And Doctor kind of goes back to his cool monologues. At first, he says, okay, wait a second. He goes, this is human. We're angels fear to tread, standing on the edge. It's a feeling you get right at the back of your head. That impulse, that strange little impulse, it says, go on, go on, go on. But the doctor says, what if the log or bars is counting on that? And he says, for once in my life, Officer Scott, I'm going to say retreat. Now I know I'm getting old. He goes, Rose, we're headed back up there. Nice monologue. For once in my life, Officer Scott, no trouble, dude. Oh, he's clean, no trouble, dude. Can you remember? Oh, they're talking to Toby. Because the log of bars can, is intimately, it was a reveal. The log of bars is the one behind Toby's henna tattoos and getting caught up in henna. Also, Toby has a big smartwatch on. Strategy 9, some of the Ood are out. Dr. Knight are coming back. Some kind of countdown. The logger Bars calls in and says, hey, I'm going to send you through the same trials, but in a different way that Gandalf the Grey went through. This is my domain. Clinging to your feeble sons, you things that live in the light. And they say, this is just kind of thing Gandalf the Grey had to deal with. But they said, that was fiction. And they say, how many different names and stories is it? And the doctor comments on it. Universe has been busy since last we heard from you. More religions and fictional fantasy stories and planets in the sky. Archipets, Orcology, Pishpash, San Clon, Church of the Din Vagabond. They talk about myth, you know, myth versus reality. Is the Lagerbars real? Is Gandalf the Grey real? Well, Gandalf the Grey's not here to help you anyway. Power goes out. This is my domain. Oh, power went out earlier, I guess. What does this say? Torturama or Kivo? Maybe those were names for them. Don't mess with Zachary Cross Flame. That's what I know. The doctor's busy asking questions. They talk about the truth behind the myth. Before I got busted, this is kind of, you know, the Lagerbars is just commenting on all this, saying, and I think Gandalf covered this before Time and Space, there was the Lagerbars, but that's just a saying, you know, no one knows if that's true. Also knows everyone's weakness in the back. Oh, Torchwood Archives, that's what the handwriting says. I thought it said that's who they work for. Turns out, where does it say that? I don't know, but that's what Zachary Cross Lane says. Sanctuary Base 6, representing the Torchwood Archives. Okay, Ood Eyes, what does that mean? I don't know. Oh, all the Ood get Lagerbar's eyes. They lay down, he lays down everyone's weakness. Someone says, what in the double H-E double hockey sticks is going on here? I thought we were running a hockey academy and another hockey academy, and this is a two-part episode about that, but it turns out it's not. Somehow it's become a crossover. And then they say, okay, well, you know, even Charles Dickens, you know, had to pay the bills. Everyone was talking at once. That's why I may have got this mixed up with the whole hockey academy cross plot last time. Doctor takes over. Doctor goes back to his kind of human, human love like stuff. He goes, you know, this is just trying to, you know, F-E-A-R you. That's how it works. You know, which version of truth is better? You're going to be fine. Work as a team. Brilliant humans. Humans who travel all the way across the space, flying in a tiny rocket. That made me think of Tiny Dancer. Right into a black hole. Amazing, you humans. Oh, boy. You can work as a team. Then the cable goes out. They are starstruck. So then they're stuck down there because they were going to take the elevator back up, but the cable stopped working. Yeah, they have about 60 minutes down there, 10 miles down. Captain, situation, the Ood are, this is when the Ood start knocking on doors and trying to open them with bolt cutters. 8 minutes and they'll be in. And everyone starts arguing and they say, okay, well, we could stay, we could get them out or bolt. Which are we going to do? We could get out, they could get out, or we'll both get out. I think that's Rose's leadership. And Rose asks us, they say, well, what? And Rose says, TEAMWORKHUMANS is. And then we see teamwork, you know, which just Zach says, I'm good at pressing buttons. And Rose goes, well, press the right buttons. And he goes, oh, yeah, we could bypass the whole thing, Majig, to the 3-2-1 power stuff, like with the couplets. That's a way out. And Toby says, I don't know nothing. He goes, well, the letters. Rose says, Danny boy, get going. Something about a shift. I think that was like a slang term that I didn't know. Let me take a look. Bypass conduits, 3-2-1, lights are on. Toby says, yeah, I can't do nothing. Translate the message, maybe. Rose says, get to work, Danny boy. You're in charge of the Ood. And she goes, yeah, get moving so we can get the doctor out. Shift. Then Ida says, let's use a cable and abseil down into the peach pit. Something she mentions even about a Tesco. Rose says that, well, list of things we haven't got. We don't get a Tesco. Then they say, somebody says something. I can totally scramble things for the Ood via Ood habitation. That could be our way out. And then they say there's tunnels for machines below. We could go through those. ZCF, I put. I don't know if they called them ZCF or I just started calling Zachary Crossflame. And she says, start pressing some buttons. Then the doctor has a big moment. Let me see. He's like getting low. He says, I get it going. And he goes, you're going down. And he goes, the urge to jump for joy. Where does that come from, that sensation? Genetics? Or maybe Ida says that. And the doctor goes, no, it's not that. That's too kind. It's not the urge to jump for joy. It's the urge to slide down a slide. Whoopee, wee, wee, wee. And the doctor starts to abseil down. Doctor goes in. He's in the cavern. The walls are like a pit-like walls are caverned or something. Lower me down. Rose says, Danny, we got to go. We'll be back. Then they say, you all right? Everybody's laughing. And everybody's looking at each other's butts. So Rose is looking at Danny's butt. She goes, not your best angle, Danny. And then Rose says, oi, like, because people are looking at her rear. They're at 7.1, cramped in there, half power, stinks in those hallways, Ood are on their way, 8.1, they got to crawl to 8.2 and aerate it. Jefferson has to do some hero action stuff. So then they get to 9.2, something for junction or something, I put 43K 2.1, because Jefferson and some of the Ood go to see the big farm. Ood are waiting, even when they try to go upstairs. Toby, we see, still working undercover for a logger of bars. Surprise, go up and do her 32 action music. I don't know what those notes mean. Let me see. Ood, open the gate. Turn left. This is Jefferson going up a bit slow. Let's see, you keep pushing the jet buttons. So then they try to go up. I guess they go out near door 32 and they're on the run. That's when Toby's like, shush, I'm undercover. They get through the door. I think they catch up with Zach, ZCF or whatever. Oh, Ood marching. I saw it. They say, hurry up, Danny. They put the Ood on basic zero, which is like a timeout. We did it. The doctor's on my way. Oh, Zachary's on his way. So he wasn't with them. Doctor's on a string. He's just talking about sentient minds. A bit of a thought experiment, you know, like what would happen if this, does that make it real? Does thinking an idea make it real? Myths and legends, logger bars, guy, you know, Khaled, Deimos, Vel, Constantine, but the same image, the thought in the back of every sentient mind. I just said, do you think it's emanating from here? It could be, but I just says, if it's the original, does that mean it's real? And the doctor goes, well, if that's what you want to believe, is it something real or an idea? And the doctor's at the end of the cable, can't tell how far he's got to go down still. Old Kaiser Soze, that was something, the end of the line. And the doctor says, I'm going to do an act of faith. Rose calls, worried. Nida says the doctor made a leap of faith. First he asks Ida what her faith is, neoclassic, congregational. you know, doctor goes, I believe I haven't seen everything. And that's what the doctor's face based on. The things you see, the rules, is it from the universe? Is there something impossible? He goes, that's why I keep traveling, to be proved wrong. And he goes, tell Rose, you know, oh, she knows. So he doesn't say tell her I love her, but so then Rosa calls the doctor. She says, doctor took a leap of faith, Rose, probably to the big farm. Keep traveling to be proved wrong. I love that philosophy. I've accidentally practiced my whole life. Let's see, plunge, he's in the pits. He said your name, Ida, bad news. Oh, they say, Ida, by the way, more bad news, Ida, we can't come get you. And Ida says, no worry, this place is beautiful. They say, we're going to take the rocket out of here. And she goes, this place is beautiful. And it's pretty cool. No one's going to see this again. So good luck. And the doctor says, oh, cool, we got our retrotopes online, so we're out. And Rose says, well, I'm not leaving. Sorry. Sorry, I'm going to stay. And they say, nope, the Ood are coming back. They're waking up. Doctor wakes up downstairs in the pits. He's breathing air, which is a surprise. Also surprised me, I didn't know the doctor. I guess I always wondered, did the doctor need to breathe? I mean, I guess he has two hearts. How many lungs does the doctor have? They must be a heck of good lungs. And the doctor wakes up, and meanwhile, the rocket lifts off, lots of cheers, which I put WTF, why is everybody cheering? Maybe just a thrill. The doctor sees or hears the rocket. Rose tries to turn them around. The doctor starts looking around, sees cave paintings with some exposition about jugs of that the lager, that keep the lager bars barred in. And he says, these glowing jugs, they must be the key or the gate or the bus. The White Wizard's Gourd or something. So my note says, White Wizard's Gourd or Guard. And then Toby's laughing hysterically on the rocket, like the same way I laugh when I'm playing hide and seek and someone's going to find me. Yeah, I find it playing hide and seek titillating. Like a bit strange. And he's laughing about the gravity funnel. The doctor's trying to figure out why he's down in the pits, about to meet the logger bars. What do you need me for? Then he meets the logger bars, who can't talk, which I'm not sure if the logger bars talked in the other movie. But he goes, this must be where the White Wizard locked you up for eternity. Let's see, wait, oh, no, yes, no. The doctor's, you know, trying to figure out... who's tricking who? He goes, I accept you exist, but I don't have to accept who you are. But somebody expected me down here because there was a nice peach pit for me to land in and air. Who needs me for what? Or is this a ritual? Wait. I just love... oh, no, yes, no. Intelligent voice, brilliant. Just a body, your mind, oh, dear. Smooth as we can for planet Earth. That's what the rocket, they say on the rocket. Maybe they hadn't met yet. Doctor's still looking over the cave painting idea versus the body. Is it you or the White Wizard who wants me to breathe this air? But he goes, well, if I, oh, boy. Then he figures out, okay. I can send the logger bars to the big farm, but then I would lose Rose. Meanwhile, they cut to Rose. Rose is on the rocket. She goes, this doesn't make sense. Why did we get away? She goes, didn't you see the movie, You Shall Not Pass? We didn't have Gandalf. It must have wanted us to escape. And she goes, anyway, what was it? She goes, was there something missing from the movie? I still don't know sure why the logger bars lived in. Where was it? What was it doing there anyway? Ancient something, right? Toby and Rose, somebody says, quiet. I think Toby says, Rose, quiet, please. So I say, oh, boy, you just explain Rose? And the doctor's kind of still going over the ideas. He goes, okay, well, if I get rid of you, then I get rid of Rose. Or he goes, but I've seen a lot of this universe. I've seen fake gods, bad gods, demigods, would-be gods. And out of that whole pantheon, if I believe in one thing, it's Rose. Whole pantheon, I believe in her. Gravity funnel goes out because the doctor starts the end of the logger bars. Doctor says, I'm going to ride you into the black hole, logger bars, in a sense, like the White Wizard did. Then Toby gets all his henna tattoos come back. So Rose says, Toby, why don't you hop out of the rocket ship and head over to the, scout the black hole and big farm out for us. And then Zachary Crossflame says, okay, we got to get in the O. We got to go into the black hole ourselves. Ood and Ida already went in there. And then the doctor finds the TARDIS and he starts laughing. And Zachary says, good news is we'll be the first few humans ever to fly into a black hole. So we're making history. And there's big music, and then there's quiet, and then the doctor comes online and says, hey, it's a good ship, TARDIS. What do you say we swap Rose Tyler? He goes, Rose Tyler on board? He goes, oh, swap Rose for Ida. And they say, what about the gravity? He goes, gravity, schmavity. My people invented black holes. And everyone cheers. Rose Tyler. He goes, he couldn't fit the Ood in the TARDIS, so that was too bad. Then we hear Rose on the TARDIS. There's love music playing. There was also a phone by the front door on the inside. Then let's see. Ood. Go, okay, we're entering clear space, end of the line. Mission closed. Then Rhoda or Ida wakes up and they say, what were you flying in? And they say, a box, maybe? That's what it looked like on the radar. Or that's what Danny saw. And then the doctor calls and says, Zach, we're going to be off. Thanks for that great hug and have a good trip home. And next time you get curious about something, oh, what's the point? You'll just go blundering in, you humans. How much I love them. Onwards and upwards. And the doctor also says, I couldn't decipher the writing in the Dano everything and might as well stop. Rose goes, well, what do you think? We really think it was a lawyer bars from the, she goes, how do you say that? Tolkien or Tolkien? And the doctor goes, it's good enough for me, Rose, Rosie Pooh. Rosie, old Rosie of mine. And he goes, Ida, maybe I'll catch you later. And they say, well, who are you two, by the way? And Dr. a little bit he says, oh, we're the stuff of legends. And then they do kind of a tribute at the end to all the Oods. They give honor to Tobias, Zed, Toby, 43K 2.1, and then all of the Oods, Ood Alpha, Ood 1 Alpha 1, Ood 1 Alpha 2. And the episode comes to a close. But let's look at some stuff that came up with this episode. You know, it's the pits. How should I spell it's versus it's? I have to relearn this so I can forget it. When you're in a hurry, you might write IT apostrophe S when you really mean ITS or the other way around. You need to be, this is from Marco Tikak. On Grammarly blog, it's versus it's, how should you use them? IT apostrophe ed is it is, contraction of it is or it has. IT apostrophe s is a possessive determinant, or we used to say something belongs to or refers to something. So it's the pits would be IT apostrophe s, because it is the pits. They're commonly confused, pronounced the same, and there's a very small difference. Rules are clear. IT apostrophe S is the same type of contraction as where's or there's. And it is a possessive, just like my or your. Okay, so that's incorrect. He doesn't think ITS is a good idea to spend all his money on video games. It should be IT apostrophe S. It's been a year since they last met. That should be IT apostrophe S. The computer looked as though its power supply had failed. It's possessive, its power supply, ITS. A car is no good without its wheels. That would be ITS, because it possesses its own wheels. At least the cars I know. Okay, so that's all the examples. So that's Grammarly. What about this Matt Jones, who wrote this episode? And presumably the last one, a British television producer and screenwriter, began as a columnist for Doctor Who magazine, then wrote a novel, Bad Therapy, which was part of Doctor Who tie-in books. A big break came in 1999. He was a script editor on Queer as Folk on Channel 4. And that same year, he edited another Channel 4 drama, Love in the 21st Century, which he also wrote one episode. The following year, he worked for two series for a children's ward in Coronation Street. Then he worked on Clocking Off, Now You See Her, a one-off drama. Eventually he got 2005, second season of the BBC revival Doctor Who. He also wrote a second series of the spin-off Torchwood, wrote the second episode of Dirk Gently, and contributed to Stan Lee's Lucky Man. So that's a little bit about Matt Jones, and, you know, gives you good advice on making it. What about O-R-E? Dash IDA, Orida, which like it was around when I was a kid. I don't remember which foods we specifically. I think frozen potato products. It's an American brand, Orida. Orida. Oh no, that's O'Reilly's. Right now, it's produced by the Heinz Company. But it's potato-based frozen foods located out of Ontario, Oregon. It's generally considered a leading potato brand in the American market. It's formed in 34 in Eastern Oregon. The Greg brothers, they were distributors of corn. And with the backing from another person, Otis Williams, they rented a frozen food plant in Ontario on the border with Idaho. So I guess there's our Orida. It converted it to a potato processing facility. And it was originally called the Oregon Frozen Foods Company. Sold frozen corn and French fries. And then, oh, holy mackerel, this is big. They may have been the founders of Tater Tots, right size log formed from seasoned slivers of potatoes, which were, of course, they were trying to maximize their production, leftovers from French fry production. And I guess we had Tater Tots because that's maybe where I would know it. I think someone in my family is big on crinkle cut fries because I kind of remember those more. They went public in 1961, acquired by Heinz in 65. Heinz came up with the slogan, when it says Orida, it's all Orida. McCain's Food purchased their food service division in 97. They were located in Boise till 1999, and now they're based in Heinz headquarters in Pittsburgh. So that's on Wikipedia, so I'll link to it. What about this song? Something about it made me think of it. Oh, wait, that's not the lyrics. I'll do the lyrics first, and then this triggered a whole line of thought. Blue Jean Baby, L.A. Lady, seamstress for the band, pretty-eyed pirate smile, you'll marry a music man. A ballerina, you must have seen her dancing in the sand. And now she's in me, always with me. Tiny dancer in my hand. A Jesus freak sat in the street, handing tickets out for God. Turning back, Sheila just laughs, the boulevard is not that bad. Piano man, he makes his stand in the auditorium. Looking on, she sings the songs, the words she knows, the tune she hums. But oh, how it feels so real. Lying here with no one near, and only you can hear me. When I say so slowly, softly, hold me closely, tiny dancer, count the headlights on the highway. Lay me down in sheets of linen. You've had a busy day to me. You know, I used to change this when it was more applicable to hold me closely, Tony Danza. Who's the boss is off the airways. And then I would kind of just try to make it, but hold me closely, Tony Danza, who's the boss is off the airwaves. There you go. You could have fun with it from there. And it's the lyrics to the Elton John and Bernie Taupin song, Tiny Dancer. And it was on their fourth album, Madman Across the Water. It released as a single in 72. Certified gold in 2005 and platinum in 2011. It's been a really popular song. It was opening track on that album. It was lyrics were inspired by a visit to the U.S., intended to capture the spirit of California and how it contrasted with England, especially the personalities. A misconception is that it's about Bernie's first wife, but he said that wasn't true, but it was dedicated to her on the album. Due to the song's lengthy runtime and lack of a hook, it was originally didn't do well as a single, only reaching 41 on the pop charts. It's a great song. I think Hold Me Closely is... But it always reminds me of that scene in Almost Famous. He said, maybe it's a time to look back at Almost Famous and watch it. It's a Cameron Crowe movie. A lot of us are big fans of his movies. And I actually watched this a lot when I was trying to learn screenwriting. It's a comedy-drama film. Stars Billy Crudup, Frances McDormand, Kate Hudson, and Patrick Fugit. It tells the story of a teenage journalist writing for Rolling Stone in the 70s, covering the fictitious rock band Stillwater, and he's trying to get his first story published, semi-autobiographical, as Crowe himself was a teenage writer for Rolling Stone. And it's based on his early experiences touring with rock bands Poco, Allman Brothers, Led Zeppelin, Eagles, and Leonard Skinner. And this was kind of like his crossover from boyhood to manhood, I guess, Cameron Crowe. It didn't do well at the box office. I think I saw it in the movies. Maybe I didn't see it until it came out. It did well with the critics, though. Won Best Original Screenplay, Grammy for Best Soundtrack Album. Roger Ebert held it as best film of the year and ninth best of the aughts, won two Golden Globes. And I think it's a movie that is worth it. I'm just looking for the part where the band is getting ready to go somewhere and, you know, they're having, you know, bands having disagreements. Is this when they sing it, or isn't it a good moment? I can't remember, but it really is. It's a great, I'd say it's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. And there's a lot of other You'd be surprised if you haven't seen it. It's definitely worth it. Okay, here's another song. We won't read the lyrics to this one, but Danny Boy is a ballad set to an ancient Irish melody. English songwriter Frederick Weatherly wrote the lyrics, which are set to Irish tune of Londonderry Air. It was written in a small town called Limavady, and it's associated with Irish communities. Various suggestions exist as the true meaning of Danny Boy. Some have interpreted it as a message from a parent to a son going off or leaving as part of the Irish diaspora. The 1918 has sheet version has different lyrics. It's been covered by tons and tons of people. So like popular song, a lot of popular song in politics and film and culturally, at least in the U.S. So I don't know, just because Rose is calling him Danny Boy made me think of it. What about Tesco? For those of you in the U.S. Like me, you might not be familiar with Tesco, except when you go visit Europe. And I'm pretty sure I thought I encountered a Tesco in Prague. And I'm still not sure if Tesco owns Trader Joe's. We'll find out maybe in this. It's a multinational grocery and general merchandise retailer. Third largest retailer in the world, measured by gross revenues. Ninth largest retailer by just revenues. Shops in seven countries. Market leader of groceries in the UK. Founded in 1919 by Jack Cohen as a group of market stalls. Started using the name Tesco in 1924. After he purchased a shipment of tea with T.E. Stockwell, combined those initials with the first two of his surname, T.E.S.C.O., Tesco, okay. First shop opened in 1931 in Burnt Oak, expanded rapidly, been global since 1990s. It was in the U.S. In 2013. It pulled out. It's diversified into books, clothing, and more. In the 90s, it repositioned itself from being a down-market, high-volume retailer to it had Tesco value items and Tesco finest, broadened its appeal. Let's see. Expanded. Jack Cohen's business model was pile it high and sell it cheap. He also, this is just according to Wikipedia, had a motto of YCDBSOYA. You can't do business sitting on your arse. It took over Hillard's chain of supermarkets in the 80s, Sainsbury, let's see. It had a club card starting in 95. I don't see. Diversification, retailing at Grocery Works, into Poland, TNS, Japan. I don't see anything about Trader Joe's in here, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I don't know my Tesco from my Aldi. You get that, that's a little bit of a joke, but there's a lot more about it, I love shopping at random, new places that are new to me. It's always exciting. Tesco is known for its corporate social responsibility. It donates 1.87% of pre-tax profits, Change for good. Advertising is popular. So this is a little bit about Tesco. Okay, here's the lyrics of another song. The cavern reminded me of that. I may have to change some of these lyrics to the ones I think. Your time is near. The mission's clear. It's later than you think. Before you slip into the night, you'll want something to drink. Steal away before the dawn and bring us back good news. But if you tread in primal soup, please wipe it from your shoes. Just then a porthole pirate scourged the evening with his cry. In sanctuary, bugs deprived the monkey of its thigh. A dusty rose caught my nose before I could think twice. Despite the butt that scuttled up, I gave some last advice. So as in my lyrics changing, the flesh from the lager bar's dogs will make rudiments of gruel. Deduct the carrots from your pay, you worthless swampy fool. You worthless swampy fool. Weakness back, it will make the rudiments of gruel. Despite the, I don't know what I thought those were. Exploding then through fields and fen and swimming in the mire. The septic maiden's gurgle tooth demented me with fire. I drifted where the current chose, afloat upon my back. And if perchance a newt slined by, I'd stuff it in my sack. Soon I felt a bubble form somewhere below my skin. But with handy spine of hedgehog, I removed the force within. Susie then removed her mask and caused a mighty stir. The angry mob responded, taking turns at patting her on the back. The foggy cavern's musty grime appeared within my palm. I snatched Rick's fork to scrape it off with deadly, icy calm. I don't think I knew that. The crowd, meanwhile, had taken Sue and helped her clean up some stuff to mop the slime from where the slug had slithered with the bag. In summing up, the moral seems a little bit obscure. Give the director a serpent deflector, a mud rat detector, a ribbon reflector, a cushion convector, a picture of nectar, a viral dissector, a hormone corrector. Whatever you do, take care of your shoes. So it's a fish song, a cavern. It was written by Anastasio Marshall and Herman, and I think it probably has some of the lyrics. Some of them are probably, I don't know if they've ever said those are the lyrics of the song, but some of them are the ones that I hear in my head. And it's a popular song. It's one of their more popular songs. A lot of times it's like a set closer or an, I think usually, or sometimes an encore. Because I can just listen to it and then hear it, and there's not a song after that. What about oi, O-I? You know, that is a word that gets used in England a lot, not as much here. It's an interjection, and it's just to get someone's attention or express a surprise or disapproval. From Cockney speech, it might effectively be a local pronunciation of hoi. With the dropping of an H, it was being used in the 50s to call attention or to challenge, depending on its tone or abruptness. It's jaunty and a self-assertive, as well as intensely Cockney. A poll of non-English speakers by the British Council in 2004 found that oi was considered the 61st most beautiful word in the English language. And here's a tip, it was added to the, if you don't have an L or something, or two L's and a Y, it's added to the acceptable words of, for U.S. Scrabble in 2006. According to Nietzsche, in Greek, oi was an expression of P-A-I-N, or M-I-S-E-R-Y. So it's just a little bit, you know, it's a word that comes up a lot. I said, let's put that out there, like what it is. Okay, one more thing. I hit up at briggsandstratton.com to find out what aeration in your lawn is, you know, because it's important to know, I guess. It's perforating the soil with small holes to allow air, water, and nutrients to penetrate the grass roots. It helps the roots grow deeply and produce a stronger, more vigorous lawn. The main reason for aerating is to alleviate soil compaction. compacted soils have too many solid particles in a certain volume of space, and that prevents proper circulation. Should you be aerating your lawn? I think we already know now. One of the most common questions is, should you aerate your lawn? It's a good candidate if it gets heavy use, children, pets, etc. Was part of a new constructed home that had construction traffic, dries out easily. It has a spongy feel. You may have an excess thatch problem, by the way. Not great news. What you can do is take a shovel, remove a slice of lawn. If the thatch layer is greater than 1/2 inch thick, oh boy, you better aerate. If it was established by sod and the soil layering still exists, soil layering means that the soil of a finer texture, which comes with imported sod, is layered over the existing coarser soil. And here's a big deal, that layering disrupts drainage. When do you want to do it? The best time is the growing season, when the grass can heal and fill any open areas. Ideally, aerate the lawn with the cool season grass in the early spring or fall, and fall, and with the warm season grass in the late spring. You can aerate with a spike or plug. Maybe to listen to the lyrics of Cavern, then aerate your lawn would be my advice. But for now, I think that's it. I'll talk to you later. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that wrote a review on Apple Podcasts here. Krim says hypnotism? ? Someone suggested this podcast a few years ago. It didn't really do it for me. Years later, episode started on one autoplay, and it's one of my favorite podcasts. I've had a problem with sleep for decades. But this works like some goofy and pleasant form of hypnosis. Added benefit of if you're a fan of Doctor Who or Star Trek, 11 out of 5 stars allowed. So thank you, Krim. Girl 29343 comes in and says, love. Podcast, a lifesaver. I got my mom hooked. I just want to say one thing. There's some music, sometimes wakes me up. Those are the jingles that you kind of need you to be awake for. My favorite podcast. Yeah, if you can skip those jingles on Patreon. Perfect. L hard to handle. Ain't no one like L. Hard to handle. Oh, because mama, she's hard to handle. But she says, just listen. People that don't like it are. This is a podcast, best podcast ever. Claire says, reassuring and dreamlike. I had insomnia for 5 years. She had to deal with stress and, was just thinking about trying to get to sleep. Tried to have good habits, but, it doesn't help everything. And, I found sleep with me at 2 a.m., and it's a mix of reassurance and dreamlike weirdness. The repetition of mumbling is an important part of it. Even though it didn't send me to sleep right away, it stopped stuff going on in my head. First night, I listened to 5 episodes. Night 2 was 4, and so on. Last night was 1, and I had 7 hours of drug-free sleep. Can't remember the last time that happened. When I say listened, I mostly can't remember what the content was. Pretty similar to a dream. Can't say thank you enough. And Claire's from Australia. Awesome comes in from... I think we read this one. I'm about 12 years old, and I love these a lot of times, especially around Christmas. I get excited and nervous-sighted. It's hard for me to sleep, so I've been listening to this a while, and I always fall asleep in the middle of the show. It really helps me sleep. Thank you. Let's check over on CastBox. I can't, Bessie says, I can't believe this podcast isn't listed on Antonio Banderas' IMDb. Oh, boy. That's pretty funny. That was the only one there. That's worth it, though, for sure. Thanks, everybody, for reviewing the podcast. I know there's other spots. I just don't know where to get to reviews from. But thank you for the support. You can review show or comment on an Apple Podcasts and CastBox that I know of. I know Stitcher has a way to review shows. I just haven't a way to find the reviews like on a mobile device. But thanks. Thanks everybody who directly supports the show, either via Patreon or the sponsors. That's how Sleep With Me comes to you for free. And I support some of the 90 hours of work a week that go into making the show and getting it out there for everybody. Sleep With Me grows and finds new listeners by people simply spreading the word, whether it's in person or online, their natural, honest experience with the podcast. A great starter way for the show is to say, tell people to listen on their smart speaker, because you know, or on their like the built-in app on their Apple phone, Apple Podcasts, or Google Podcasts on Android. So thank you for spreading the word. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can see all the amazing shows, including a show I've been re-listening to recently, It Makes a Sound. If you haven't listened to that podcast, cue it up, and you can find that and all the other amazing shows over at KnifeValePresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can see all the amazing things they're doing at PRX.org. And that's it. Let's get on with the show. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them, and so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. That's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 1253 Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 1252 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut. That was a good one. 1250, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.